Father, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Beginning at verse 31, in the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1094, page 1094. Just to set the context a little bit for this reading, we've celebrated the birth of Christ as documented by Luke, and then his baptism. And then we're told Jesus went back to his hometown, where he was basically rejected because no prophet is welcome in his own hometown. So with that, he goes back to Capernaum, and this is basically the beginning of his earthly ministry here on earth. And what's the first thing we see, according to Luke here, is an encounter he has with an unclean spirit, right in the synagogue among them. And so Jesus, of course, addresses this and gives us our instructions for how we are to address it as well. And so I pick up with Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 31. And he, Jesus, went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. He was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." When the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our theme this year is living biblically. And so we're going to take things in the Bible, as bad as they may sound. What do you think about that Psalm 58? Isn't that? You liked it. again, if somebody had just given that to you and didn't tell you where it came from, would you have, and they said, "Oh, by the way, this is in the Bible." You'd think, "Really? Is this really in the Bible?" Yes, it is. It is. This is a very, very serious subject. Living biblically means that we are living in enemy territory. And if Jesus encountered evil spirits, if the apostles after him encountered evil spirits, if the church for 2,000 years has encountered evil spirits, guess what? We're going to encounter evil spirits. So we need to understand what that is, what it means to live in a world not only where evil exists, but where evil is actively pursuing us. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 tells us, "Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Sounds pretty strong. Revelation 12:17 tells us the devil went off to make war on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. This is war. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus tells us that the thief, the devil, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. To steal our identity, to steal our joy, to destroy relationships, to kill. Jesus referred to him as the ruler of this world. Paul referred to him as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We see things happening in the world, we wonder, my goodness, why is all this stuff happening? It is the evil spirits at work in the sons of disobedience. And so as we heard, when Jesus began his ministry, he immediately encountered an unclean spirit, and we will also. According to the Bible, this is the realm of Satan. This is his place where he was thrown down. We are here living as aliens, as the New International Version had it, resident aliens. The English Standard Version uses the word exiles. We're exiles in this world. This is not our home. Our home is in another place, and we're living in enemy territory. Jesus said that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. 1 Peter 4, chapter 12 then tells us, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Don't be surprised when things are happening as though something strange were happening. I listened to a number of series, and Alistair Begg is just a great one, and he talks about, you know, as a young lad growing up in Scotland, and they'd get into rugby, and he could just imagine coming home and telling his mom and his dad, "Oh, you won't believe it, they threw me to the ground, and they jumped on me, and I got all dirty." And they would say, "Well, what do you think? It's rugby. That's what you expect to happen." But we go through the world and things happen to us. And I see this in clergy. Things happening in their church. I say, "Oh, I don't understand it. This person was doing this and it was fine. I thought we were good. And then I turn out later that this person went and did that. And I just can't understand it." And I'm like, "Hello." It is amazing to me, not only the church just so vastly different in understanding and the expectation that this stuff is out there. And in fact, we are the targets of it. Derek Prince, I've shared this story before, was on a cross-country flight. It was a long flight. They were serving food, and he happened to be sitting next to a woman, and he noticed that she was not eating anything. And he says to this woman, "I notice you're not eating. I hope you're okay." And she says, "Oh, yes, I'm fine." She says, "I'm fasting." He says, "Oh, great." He says, "I'm a Christian too." He says, "You know, we fast." And she says, "Oh, no, I'm not a Christian." She's a Satan worshiper. And she was fasting for two things: the breakup of Christian marriages and division in Christian churches. Those were the two goals that they were fasting for and praying against: the breakup of Christian marriages and division in Christian churches. How successful have their prayers been? Yeah. So we're living in those times. And so we heard the words of Paul to the Ephesians: "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." It's not enough for people to say, "Oh, I've got Jesus in my heart." I've heard people say that. I know someone very dear to me involved in ministry down in the Dominican Republic, and I keep saying to this person, "You need to protect yourself. You need to protect yourself." And I'm giving them, you know, like the spiritual protection prayer we have. And the person's like, "No, those are just words. I've got Jesus. I've got the Holy Spirit. That's all I need." I'm like, "Oh, wonderful. We've got Jesus. We've got the Spirit." But the Bible tells us not that we need more, but we need to apply that power that we've been given. Put on the armor of God in the name of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus upon us, upon our families, upon our church, that we may be able to stand in the day of evil. We need to protect ourselves. We need to protect our families, especially our children. We need to protect our church. Now, there's many different ways that the enemy does attack us. One particular one I wanted to talk about this morning was brought up again in the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. He wrote this: "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." Again, that tells us there's an attack going on, right? There's these flaming darts that are being thrown at us. Sometimes, haven't there been times you feel like you've got this big bullseye on your chest or on your back? And you've got these flaming darts that are just pew, 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 you know, and whoa, wow, ooh, that hurt, you know. And flaming darts of the enemy. They come in many various sizes, shapes, and forms. One that I want to talk about today, I think is very prevalent. I would say virtually universally prevalent. And again, maybe not identified as a particular flaming dart of the enemy. But I believe that one that is often overlooked is that the enemy can put spontaneous thoughts into our minds. Remember with Adam and Eve, what was the thought? Satan said, oh, did God really say? Until then, they never questioned God, but then it's like, oh, did God really? You know what? I think he's just jealous because you would get to be like him if you knew knowledge of good and evil. And like, oh, maybe this guy's got a point here. And so they rebel against God. Judas, it says, Satan entered into him and he betrayed the author of salvation. So evidently, enemy, evil spirits can put thoughts into our minds. And again, Alistair Begg tells it in a very humorous type way. He says that the enemy will do this. He'll put a bad thought in the back of our minds and then he'll run around the front and he'll come and he'll say, what kind of a person are you to have a thought like that? Have you ever had? I've had that. I'm like, where did this thought come? Am I a bad person? And that's what the enemy, not only does he put it in you, then he comes around and accuses you for having the thought. And like, where did that thought come from? It came from the enemy. And what is our response? If we don't recognize it as such, we start to think, oh, maybe I am a really bad person. Maybe that sinfulness in my prior life, maybe I've not really been forgiven, or maybe I've not really confessed it, right? Because the stuff, you know how the enemy does that? He keeps storing up and bringing up that old stuff, that old garbage, and throws it at us. And sometimes it sticks. Sometimes it sticks. Paul wrote, the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Strongholds are these ways of thinking. These old things that we grew up with, these paradigms in our mind of thinking things like, I am a bad person. That is a stronghold. It is a lie of the enemy, and there are too many Christians who believe it. He says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, which is we are saved in Jesus Christ, and we take every thought captive to Jesus Christ. See, the mind is the battleground. Paul says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, the way we think. And there are those messages that will come in from the enemy, messages of doubt, messages of confusion, messages that will just try to tear us down and tell us we're a horrible person, we were never really forgiven, God would never want us the way we are. These are all strongholds, and they need to be torn down. They need to be broken in the name of Jesus and by his blood. And so when these bad thoughts come, we simply rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ. We have the authority. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. Particularly, listen please closely, particularly when these bad thoughts come into our mind about another person. I don't know if you've experienced that. I suspect we have, but didn't realize it. But all of a sudden, a thought will come in about another person. Just a hateful, bitter, vengeful thought just about this other. And I'm like, where did that come from? I need to rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ and say, no, I resist that. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ and plead the cleansing, the blood of Christ upon our mind, our conscious and our unconscious mind to set us free from that kind of lies, that kind of strongholds. And so we must be vigilant. It's not enough simply to say, I have Jesus in my heart. We must be vigilant about putting on the whole armor of God, as Paul said. And so I again, get back to this subject of living biblically, living in the sense that we are in this world, this fallen world, this world that is the enemy, the prince of the enemy. And so I offer three principles for living biblically. The first is we should expect to be attacked. Particularly if we're about the work of God's kingdom, we should expect to come under demonic attack. We are at war. Second, God will not do for us what we can do for ourselves. I think that's a very important principle. Say, well, God got Jesus in my heart. He'll protect me. Certainly God does anything. I don't want to start saying God can do this. God, But what we're told in Scripture is put on the armor. Another place of be in prayer, stand up, stay in communion with one another, receiving the sacraments, being in the Word of God. These are all ways we build ourselves up, praying blessings upon our children and our grandchildren. Every time I have a grandchild in my arms, a baby, I'm praying, God, protect this child, bless this child from the evil one. Keep it safe. Before they go to bed at night, I'll put a hand on their head, just protect them in their unconsciousness, protect them from attacks of anybody, you know, anything that's of the enemy. We need to apply this with a prayer, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and using that word as God directs us to do. So God will not do for us what we can do for ourselves. And then thirdly, I would say that when bad thoughts come, especially about other people, we need to rebuke them and claim the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, please bring every thought into obedience to Jesus Christ. Amen. So expect to be attacked. Put on the armor of God as the Bible tells us to do, living biblically, because God's not going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. And then when the bad thoughts come, we need to rebuke them. This is a prevalent thing in our society today and in our churches especially. I received a phone call this week. Debbie and I are eating dinner, and usually I don't answer the phone during dinner, or if I don't recognize a number, I don't. But I just didn't recognize a number, but something said, answer the phone. So I pick up the phone. It's a woman on the other end. She says, is this Reverend O'Malley? I said, yes. So she knew my name. She said, I'm calling from Columbus, Georgia. It's a couple hours away. I'm calling from Columbus, Georgia. She says, I'm having trouble with evil spirits, and I'm trying to find someone to help me. What? And I said, are you part of a church? And she said, yes. She says, but my pastor doesn't do this kind of thing. She said, I've been going through the phone book, and how she got a phone number up here, I have no idea. So I've been going through the phone book. She says, I've tried over 30 different churches, and no one can help me. So that's what the person called. 30 different churches, no one can help me. Can you help me? And I said, well, if you give me your email address, we've got this prayer that we use, prayer protection. I can send you a copy of that. I also can send a thing to do a house blessing, which I put on the back of our outline today, how to go through the house and do this blessing. So I prayed with her, and I said, I'll send this to you. And she said, thank you so much. She was so appreciative. And then I got off the phone, and then you start like, wow, was this real? Was this a setup? You know, I mean, it's just very strange to get a call from Columbus, Georgia, saying she was going through the phone book and she ended up with my phone number. And I tell you, we need to be leery about these kinds of things. When I first came to this area, hard to believe, almost 20 years ago, I was over at the Episcopal Church, Good Shepherd. Just got into the area, was fresh out of seminary, and I was going to be the second savior of the world. People were going to hear me, and boy, they were just going to flock to the church, and everything was going to be wonderful. In the middle of the evening, I get a call from somebody, this person, it's a man, in angst and pain. He said, oh, I've got this pain. Come help me. I've got this horrible pain. You got to come help me. Now, the first thing I'm thinking, okay, wow, the whole community knows what a wonderful priest I am. And even people who aren't part of our church are calling me because they want me to come and help them. Do you hear this? And then all of a sudden, you know, the Holy Spirit starts to stick in, and I'm like, wait a minute. What? If you're in pain like that, call 911. Oh, no, I can't do that. I can't, but you got to come help me. Please come help me. And you know, through the Spirit, I just thank God. Because, again, the implication would have been, oh, right, I'm going to go help this person. I'm going to lead them to Jesus. And I just stuck. I said, go call 911. And they finally ended up the conversation. And I believe the Lord showed me, if I had gone to that place and answered that call, I would have been seriously hurt, if not killed. I just believe that now. If I had gone there, whatever it was, it was a setup by the enemy. It's very strong in this area, by the way. It was set up by the enemy. So you got to question these things and wonder, wow, is this really true? Is it authentic? And so I was thinking about this phone call and this woman who called and said she's being attacked by evil spirits. I'm thinking, well, what could it be done? It's trying to get a connection with me. She knew my name. She knew my phone number. Amazing what we can do on the internet now is I took her phone number, which I had, and I was able to put it in the Google, and you backtrack it. And sure enough, it's this same name calling from Columbus, Georgia. So the phone number and the name were legitimate. And I thought, well, at least it's legitimate. At least it's you know, the person is who they supposedly said they are. So I just prayed and left it. The next day, I got an email from the person. And the email said how much they were thankful. They had received the stuff I sent them. They said they had talked to their pastor again. And that night, the pastor and the church, the elders were going to pray with her. So I'm thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. So I'm still not sure. I don't know what the enemy, again, I pray if there's anything in the enemy that came as a result of this, just I pray break it in the name, you know, this breaking the chain prayer. But what really got me was a sense now, I think it is authentic. This woman said she called over 30 churches and no one knew how to help her. Evil spirits. I don't know. Is that, I guess I think we've had experience with that. It's just other churches just don't want to touch it, don't want to, we're afraid of it. I don't know what it is. I know you can talk about it too much, and I try to be sensitive to that here as well. You know, we're following the ministry of Jesus. This is what he did. He encountered an unclean spirit, so we're going to talk about it. But I would just say it is real. They are powerful, but we are not to be afraid of them because we have more power in the person and the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. But we need to put it on. We need to apply it. And if we don't, we're vulnerable. Not only are we vulnerable, we're under particular attack because we claim to be followers of Jesus. Remember, the devil wars against those who hold to the testimony of Jesus. And that's the church. Now, I acknowledge there are two extremes, as C.S. Lewis talks about this. One extreme, people see a demon behind every door, every bush, and so forth. Every problem that I have must be caused by an evil spirit. No, I do not believe that. There's lots of other things we sometimes bring upon ourselves or things just happen, whatever. Not everything that we're being oppressed by is caused by an evil spirit. I think that's a dangerous position for people to be in. Opposite side, I believe, is equally dangerous to simply disregard and say, I don't believe in it. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just not going to pay any attention to it. Equally dangerous, I believe. Where are we? Somewhere in the middle. Living biblically. Being aware, yes, it's out there. What the scriptures reveal to us. If people say, I don't believe in evil spirits, do you realize how much of scripture you have to just kind of ignore or take out? A lot, a lot. And so it's there. It's in there, and it is here. We see the evidence of it everywhere. Are we fearful? No, we're not. Because God has given us the protection. But we must put it on. We must be in prayer. We must be in fellowship. We must be in the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Receiving the sacraments, the power that comes from the sacraments, the body and the blood. So, living biblically, living in enemy territory until Jesus comes to take us home. My hope is that we can share this with other people. A lot of people out there who are even believers, but they don't believe in this. And so we simply need to say, it's in the scriptures. But we need to do it gently. We need to do it in a loving manner, not an accusatory way. Please don't ever go out and see somebody struggling and say, oh, you must have a demon. We don't do that. We don't go around telling people they've got demons. We just say to them, do you have a sense maybe there's something spiritual here going on? And if they have a sense of it, they might say, yeah, others have said, no, I don't think that's it. Okay, right, good. Is there something spiritual you think going on here? Well, yeah, you know, I sometimes wonder that. Well, let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. And get into the scriptures and see what God's going to lead us to do. We are called to be the salt of the earth. You know what that means? To us have been given the secrets of the kingdom of God. Remember Jesus said to the disciples, what are the secrets of the kingdom of God? The thing is the fact that we're involved in a war. There's an enemy out there trying to steal, kill, and destroy us. And so we are the ones to take that message out into the world and tell people who are struggling and don't even realize it, especially believers who are naive. And say, have you thought about this? Maybe this is this. And we get together and we pray with them and we invoke the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. The kingdom of God is upon us. Things are happening now. I continue to talk to other people who are particularly struggling with certain things going on in their lives. And as I prayed about this and examine and get to know these people, I realized there are certain people who are spiritually sensitive to the things of the spirit world. And my sense is I continue to hear those people talk about things happening in their lives, just physically coming over or just things happening. And I just want to say, I'm not one of those people, I don't think. Not that, I mean, different people have different, but there are some of you, I know, some people in this church who are just very spiritually sensitive. And there is a heightened spiritual activity going on around us, both good and bad. And these particular people are sensing this and they're being affected by it. If you find yourself being one of those people, either let me know, or again, we've got the spiritual protection, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We've got to be in the Word of God, particularly Psalm 119. If you're feeling overwhelmed, take out the Bible, Psalms, just start praying them out loud. Take every thought captive to Jesus Christ. This is what we need to do. We need to teach people how to do this. So if we find ourselves or people we know who are just being overwhelmed, they say, I don't know what it is. I'm just overwhelmed. So much stuff going on. I'm just, okay, maybe it's one of these spiritually sensitive people. Let them know they're not going crazy, but it could be something spiritual. They just need to up, you know, stay close in community, in prayer, in the Word of God, and just stay faithful. I don't think God's going to take that away because we're going to need that spiritual discernment as the church goes through time. So this is a gift. It's a gift, but also a burden that the church is going to need. So I don't want to pray. I think God's going to just take that away from you and you're not going to be sensitive to spiritual stuff anymore. I don't think that's going to happen, but I don't know. So I would say just persevere, realize it could be this, and God's going to use that within the church for the sake of the body of Christ. Okay, so something's happening. If you're one of those people, you find things going. If you know yourself to be a particularly spiritual sensitive person, be aware as there's a heightened activity. It's kind of like an antenna, right? You've got a very weak signal. What the antennas are going to pick up that signal? The strongest antennas are going to pick up that signal. And nobody else will pick it up. But certain antennas are going to pick up these signals. And I believe that's happening in the church today. But the best is yet to come, see? We can get overwhelmed by this. But the good news is the best is yet to come because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer? In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.